And now to tracking energy developments in our state power grid, reliability rates set by the Public Service Commission, the PSC, and the status of renewable energy projects. Do you have solar panels on your home or at your workplace? Tell us about your experience. Utilities are shutting down coal-fired power plants. What questions do you have about decommissioning them, like the Edgewater plant in Sheboygan? And what do you want to know about appeals to the Cardinal Hickory Creek Transmission Line project? 800-642-1234 to join in. Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Chris, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Well, let's start with this fraught Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line slated to run from Dubuque to Middleton. You know, in recent weeks, the PSC gave notice it intended to rescind the permit for the line. What would that effectively mean?
That is, that's a great question, and sort of what the PSC kind of asked others to weigh in on what it should do. Essentially, the developers have asked for what's basically a redo because the permit has been challenged in court. There was some information that came to light last week when they discovered some new secret communications between one of the commissioners and executives of some of the utilities that threatened to sort of taint the approval. So they basically asked two of the remaining commissioners to rescind the permit and revote on it, essentially taking that tainted commissioner's vote away, which would then sort of render the court challenges moot. Opponents of the line obviously don't want to see that happen. They would love to see the permit rescinded, but they are arguing that it should really be left to the courts right now, or else if the commission is going to reconsider it, they want to see a fresh look where they go back and introduce new evidence and really start over.
What would that mean for the timeline of this high voltage project? And what about costs?
It would certainly amount to a delay. Right now, the project is scheduled to start construction this fall. They're already out negotiating land, easements, getting together the land they need for it. So the developers say that they need the PSC to act right away, or else they're going to delay the project, which they say could also have ripple effects for a lot of new, mostly solar and other wind farm projects that are counting on that line, that could delay.
Because these alternative energies would be running on that line?
That are counting on that line, at least to some degree.
Okay.
Either they're counting on that line, or they need it to relieve congestion in other places. If they do go back to the PSC, they could be looking at 6 months to a year to completely redo the approval process.
Another twist is the USDA in the mix did an environmental impact study and proposed modifications to the route. What can you tell us there?
That was mostly minor site modifications that came up through talks with landowners where they moved the line, more than a few feet, but relatively small changes to accommodate interferences, but with a more significant change in Iowa, where near the Mississippi River crossing, where they moved it to avoid some Native American burial mounds, all of that, it was moved enough that it was outside of the buffer that had been studied, so that required a sort of supplemental environmental study to look at those. I think it was about 15 acres in total.
There's been just so much litigation raining down over this project, and the Environmental Law and Policy Center, other environmental groups out there. one of the suits going after the Army Corps of Engineers for not doing an independent environmental review. What is at the heart of this legal challenge?
I think it's really just they're going after every possible angle. I think their central cases, they have cases in state and federal court directly challenging the PSC's approval of the permit. And that's where we're hearing all this information about conflict of interest, the allegations of secret communications between one of the commissioners and utility executives. I think then secondarily, they've sort of gone after other agencies who've issued permits that are more tangential, I mean, still essential to the project, but not the primary permit. So, I think they're really trying to cover all their bases.
And when you talk about the conflict of interest here and secret communication, this is tied to former PSC Commissioner Mike Hipsch. Can you explain that a little further?
Yeah. So Commissioner Hipsch was appointee of Governor Walker, who was on the commission during the time that this, this would have been in 2018, 2019, that the line was being considered initially the groups it was primarily the Driftless Area Land Conservancy and Wisconsin Wildlife Federation sued, claiming perceived conflicts of interest on the part of Hipsch because of these secret communications, but because of his involvement with the Midwestern grid operator, mm-hmm. Known as MISO, which was also a party to this line and was pushing for the line. They also alleged conflict of interest by Chair Rebecca Bach because of her previous employment with some of the utilities. In the course of these lawsuits, there was in discovery. They started to find out about texts that Hipsch had exchanged with some of the executives from Dairyland, which is one of the partners in the line. Then it turned out that he had, after leaving the commission, had applied for a job as the CEO of Dairyland. Much of that came out last year. Mm-hmm. Then through further discovery, what was revealed this week is that he had been communicating with executives from some of these utilities using Signal, which is an encrypted messaging app. He testified in court last week that these conversations were purely personal. These are friends he's known for 25 or 30 years, and they were just using it to talk about sports and family and things and not commission business. However, because it is an encrypted app that's set to essentially destroy the messages after a certain amount of time, we don't know exactly who he was talking to or what he was talking to them about. And so that's where it creates, at the very least, an appearance of bias.
Yeah.
That this appears that, what's known as ex parte communications, where commissioners are not supposed to be talking outside of the official record.
Yes. So more to follow there as we check in on developments in the energy sector with Chris Hubick of the Wisconsin State Journal. How are your electricity bills this summer? Have you used more energy in the pandemic as more family members work from home? Do you participate in a shared solar program with your public utility? What are the pros and cons? Join in on Energy 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. Back in a minute with Chris Hubick here in the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're checking in on energy developments across our state. There's a report in recent days by the Wall Street Journal about how utility companies are paying for coal plant closures by issuing bonds. And it highlighted Milwaukee-based WEC Energy Group using securitization to help finance the shutdown of plants. Is this financing approach the best way to get rid of these old heavy polluters? What do you want to know about the status of the Kewaunee Power Station and the process of decommissioning a nuclear plant? Still time, 800-642-1234. Chris Hubbock covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Chris, before we move on, we heard from Mark and Kimberly, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Mark wants to know, why are the environmental groups suing, and what damage are they claiming a high-voltage transmission line will do?
I think they see it in the biggest terms as just a sort of a blight on the Driftless area, because this would run through that sort of special region of Southwest Wisconsin. Particularly, there's concerns about just the swath it would cut, the vegetation it takes out, impacts on birds and so forth. I think their biggest concern, more so than those particular problems, is that the line is not needed. They fear that it might, while it's been pitched as a means to support new renewable power, that they fear could be used to prop up some distant coal plants that, because really the line is agnostic in terms of the electricity that runs on it, so that it could, in effect, prolong the life of some coal plants.
Well, let's move on to renewables. You've been writing about solar farms being built or proposed across the state this year: Sheboygan, Grant County, Fitchburg, northwestern Wisconsin. How is the solar industry doing in our state?
Booming, I think.
All right.
It's hard to keep track of all the proposals of the, what we call utility scale proposals. There's about 3,000 megawatts in the that have either been mostly approved or have applied. I think some of them are under construction. We've only had one that's sort of come online of the really big ones, of the 200 megawatt size. Alliant has plans to spend about $1.5 billion on solar. WEC Energy Group, about $2 billion on solar and wind and other renewables. Utilities are, they are investing as fast as they can in new wind and solar, mostly in mm-hmm. solar.
What about on the residential side and it becoming more doable for a household?
One thing that obviously the cost of solar has plummeted over the last 10 years, which makes it a lot more feasible for a lot more people. There's still a lot of upfront cost. Mm-hmm. It's not, for a residential system, you might be looking at $10,000 to $20,000. What has made it really appealing for a lot of people is the super low interest rates. There are what's known as green mortgages, where you can fold in energy upgrades, and that could be anything from better insulation to rooftop solar panels, can be sort of folded into a traditional mortgage, and you just pay for it with your housing payments. But also the super low interest rates means a lot of people, and I think one study last spring estimated close to 200,000 Wisconsin homes, homeowners who hadn't refinanced would be able to refinance at a lower interest rate and take money out, essentially, take like a home equity loan to pay for solar panels. And then the utility savings would offset, any additional mortgage payment.
Oh, that's interesting. So there, the state of our economy right now and those low interest rates and those opportunities, they're really culminating at a point that boosts solar even on the residential side.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, what is happening on the wind front? It seems you haven't been writing as much about these projects. Is there less activity in building new wind turbines?
Yeah, definitely not to the degree that we've seen with solar. We, in the last year or two, have heard rumblings of some new wind farms, but we've also seen the Sugar River Wind Farm down in Greene County, which got approval from the PSC. Then the developer walked away from the project for reasons that are not entirely clear, but apparently they decided it wasn't going to be profitable. We haven't seen much. That there was another highly controversial wind farm up in northwestern Wisconsin that, despite surviving some court challenges, the developers have yet to start building it, again, for reasons not quite known.
Yeah.
There have been rumblings of a very large wind farm, a 600-megawatt wind farm, that would cover thousands of acres in southwestern Wisconsin. They have not applied for a permit yet. They're still, trying to negotiate land contracts to get all the land they need for it. It has stirred up a lot of opposition. There's a website of a group that's organized to fight it, who just see it as way too big and way too intrusive for that part of the state.
Well, Chris Hubbuck, I just want to make sure that we squeeze in the utility rates and any increases that you see coming out of the PSC.
Sure. They approved Alliance, got a rate hike that will boost electricity rates next year, but then keep them flat the following year. MG&E has requested about a 6% increase for electricity rates next year. That's still pending before the PSC. And WEC Energy Group has proposed to keep their rates for that would be for We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service, to keep those rates flat next year. But then they'll probably be looking for some sort of increase in the following year.
Chris, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Chris Hubbuck covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. You can find links to some of his recent reporting at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, we meet the new host of Simply Folk on Wisconsin Public Radio. Sheila Shigley joins us for an hour-long conversation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.